I don't know if that was to just make me sound like Messi again, whether that was to promote the fact that Matthew Stafford is coming up on Mason in Ireland today at 1:30 again. But today is Wednesday, not Tuesday. Two nights ago was Monday Night Football. But, you know, if we just want to lean into
Jared Goff, that's fine. This is what you do. This is what Chris does. Every possible chance to talk about Jared Goff, you guys try to take advantage of it, even if he didn't even play in a game, even if it wasn't Monday Night Football.
Nobody played in a game last night. Unless they played some pickup in the street, a little down and out by the Chevy.
Did you think anybody was doing anything? When Pujols hits his single and the Dodgers win the game, is one of the first things you did right after that is look at Goff's stats from 2019?
It would have been, well, look, he probably...
What a clutch hit.
Goff,
I wonder what
have
Goff
that big hit.
Who's Goff got this weekend?
No, Goff would have grounded out to the pitcher. He would have grounded out to the pitcher, or if he was the pitcher, he would have gotten a ground ball back through the box and then thrown it into the seats behind first base. That's what he would have done in that situation. You know what, Al? I'm pumped up today for a variety of reasons.
Yep.
I am absolutely pumped, mostly because I didn't even have to ask for Ask Sleaze today.
Mm-hmm.
The people have already done the work. I'm loaded. You do not have to send an Ask Sleaze today. I have more than enough.
It's not a good sign.
This is great.
I'm telling you that's not a good sign. That is, I feel like it has enough steam and momentum where, look, my thought was this thing's going to die off in 3 weeks. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore,
No.
So we'll just have to run with it a little bit.
It does not feel like a three-week sort of deal. We've got plenty. That's coming up just about an hour, or no, about 45 minutes from right now. So we got that covered a little bit. You mentioned it. Albert Pujols had the big hit last night. Mm-hmm. Travis Sleaze brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. It was a big hit. It was a big win. They were behind. They came back to take the lead. The Rockies tied it up again. And then the Dodgers in the 10th inning with their old man, El Tio, right? It comes up. And it's just a ground ball, but it's a ground ball in the perfect spot. It was a great at-bat. And the Dodgers win. And then the Giants did the exact same thing to the Padres. Just a gut kick.
It kind of weird. You know, if you're watching this last night, you see these emotions kind of up and down for Dodger fans. What I'm referring to there is you go up 4-2. At what point the Giants, I want to say we're down 4-1 to the Padres. Colorado comes back, ties it at 4. Both fan bases are sitting back saying, we might gain some ground tonight.
Right.
And then within, you know, an hour, both fan bases are saying, we might lose some ground tonight. That's kind of that's the back and forth on a Tuesday freaking game.
Well,
in late September.
Yep. You ready? Are you ready?
I don't know. Am I ready?
Yeah, I agree with you. When you said, Trav, this is the dumbest format I've ever seen in my life. That you're going to take a team that's
won
102-3 games.
The dumbest format.
And somebody is going to be a bad hop away from going home after one day.
Yeah.
It's stupid. You should
because these are the two best teams in Major
League
Baseball.
All of that is true. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And if Rob Manfred came on the television right now at 10 o'clock and 46 seconds on Wednesday morning and said, you know what, I've made a decision. Our format is stupid, and the Dodgers and Giants should not have to go to a wild card game. We're going to send the Atlanta Braves to play the
St.
Cardinals.
Louis Cardinals.
Right,
yeah.
We're going to go do that because that's the best thing for the sport. I'd be thumbs up all for it. Can I be honest?
I don't like where this is going.
Last night was so much fun. It was incredibly anxiety-inducing. It was queasy. It was terrifying.
Sure.
It was exhilarating.
Yeah.
It was so much. I can't remember the last time I was watching a Dodger game on TV and simultaneously looking at my phone every 4 seconds to get updates on the Giants game. Watching the Giants game on my phone. Watching to see, oh, Machado hit a home run. All right, here we go. And it felt like playoff baseball.
Yeah.
And I get it. I don't want either one of these teams to have to go in there. Well, I really don't want the Dodgers to do it. The Giants can do it. That's fine. But I would be lying if I said that the last week or so, and last night in particular, hasn't been remarkably exciting.
No one's arguing that it's not exciting. Nobody's saying that, you know, seeing the San Francisco Giants and the Los Angeles Dodgers night in, night out, go back and forth against each other, and they don't even have to play each other.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying that's not exciting. All we're saying is that that's supposed to be happening right now between the markets of Atlanta, the markets of St. Louis. It's just not supposed to be happening in this market in San Francisco. Listen, what you described last night is a great example of, oh my gosh, this does feel like baseball, or this does feel like the postseason.
It kind of is.
The problem is, you're at the end of September and you're not supposed to have these feelings until October. That's the reality.
Well, you're not supposed to have them until October now because of the wild card.
If you're the top two teams in Major League Baseball.
I'm with you, but I was loving every minute of it last night. It was really fun. Like you said, this felt like playoffs. It kind of almost is because one of these two teams is going to get such a raw deal.
Yeah.
And look, I think the Dodgers will win a wild card game. I think the San Francisco Giants will win a wild card game, but I don't know. But the fact that they're both fighting like hell, they're the two best teams in baseball by a mile, really. Mm-hmm. They're the two best comfortably. And that they both have to run their best pitcher out every night. That they have to play for single runs in the fourth and fifth innings. That every single pitching move is analyzed. That an error is made. That a bobble on a ball is looked at as a catastrophe as opposed to a heroic play. Gavin Lux slides in left field. And did he get it? Oh my gosh, he didn't get it. And this does not feel like a regular season baseball game. It feels like a playoff game. And it's fantastic. Just fantastic.
You had a comp. You were trying to bring in movies into the mix here, and you were trying to compare who the Dodgers would be, who the Giants would be. How would you describe those two squads?
It's Rocky IV mm-hmm. is basically what this is. Mm-hmm. Only we're the bad guys in this situation.
Yeah. The Dodgers are Russia.
The Dodgers are Ivan Drago.
Yes. I must break you.
And the Dodgers are the team that is the super team. Yep. We've got all the All-Stars. Mm-hmm. We've got all the MVPs. Mm-hmm. We've got all the Cy Youngs. We've got all the money. Mm-hmm. We're the defending world champs.
Have eight abs.
We have eight abs. Yeah. Exactly right.
And perfect hair. I'm tall.
The Giants in this scenario are Rocky. Mm-hmm. They're the team that keeps the Dodgers keep throwing these hands. Come from behind, win.
Yep.
They win 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. They win 22 out of 27. They're just on fire, and they got cut. We're at that point where there's a cut.
He's worried. Cut it. You're hurting. You see, he's not a machine. He's a man.
That's Gabe Kapler. That's Gabe Kapler talking to his guys right now. You see? They're cut. They're not a machine. They're men. We can beat them. We are at the finish line.
They won't freaking go down.
They won't go down. Drago is bludgeoning them with shots. Right? He's not going
down.
Don't
say right like I know what you said. I had no idea what you said.
He's like, here's a piece of iron.
That's my Sly. Right? But it's
unbelievable. It's a good
the
comp.
Dodgers are doing everything right. Mm-hmm. They're winning every series. They're throwing their best guys who are performing at a high level, and old dumbass Rocky over here won't hit the deck. He's just sitting there getting smacked around, but he won't go down.
100% last night, I thought, obviously Dodgers earlier start playing the Rockies, San Francisco at San Diego. You thought, no question about it, I think Dodgers are going to pick up a game. And you see the way the Giants win.
Uh-huh.
Down 4-1.
Uh-huh.
Little sacrifice fly here. A timely base hit with two outs. Just kind of slowly just trickling their way back into the game. By the way, the Dodgers. You're tied at 4 apiece, which, I know that's there's some nerves there. Tied at 4 apiece.
Throw the damn towel.
And but even in that 10th inning, Trev, it's like there were moments where they could have broke.
Uh-huh.
They didn't break.
They were on the edge a couple of different times.
And they didn't
give in. You're
so
right.
So the way the Giants were, granted the Giants had kind of come back, but then they also took the lead and then gave up the lead.
Yep.
The way both teams almost played identical last night, and I think that goes more to the story of what you say, it's an exciting run.
You could be a part of Travis Lee Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Here's where you had that, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you bleeping kidding me? Giants go up in the 10th inning, or 9th inning, excuse me. The Padres get a couple of guys on base with Manny Machado, who's coming up, who's having a night.
Already hit two into the Western Metal Supply
Building. He's having mm-hmm. a night, right? That he's locked in.
Yeah.
Tying run at second base. Only one out. He hits a ball, not scorched, but hard towards Brandon Belford, who bobbles the ball.
Yep.
He doesn't even catch it cleanly. Nope. Ball pops up in the air. He snags it out of the air. He throws it down to second base, but because he's so far off the bag, he's not getting back to first base. The pitcher busts it from the mound all the way over to first base, takes that throw from the shortstop, and they complete a double play. They complete a 3-6-1 mm-hmm. double play to end the game. Do you know how hard of a play that is? This is a play. I'm not going to say I've done that play a million times. Playing baseball my whole life through college, the whole thing. There is not a defensive play that you're going to ask of a pitcher that's more difficult than getting to that spot in that situation where the first baseman is ranged way off. You have to run full speed to get to that bag. Yep. You have to break it down so you stop at the bag. You have to reach out and stretch. And by the way, by the time you get there, the ball's halfway to first base. Yeah. You have to find the ball in the middle of the air at some point, catch it to get that guy out. They did it like it was a routine ground ball to shortstop.
In the ninth inning, with the scenario, with two guys on, like everything you just mentioned, it was also, you can't, that play has to be perfect to end the game, or there's a chance that the Padres are going to tie the game and, you know, obviously extend the game, and that wasn't the case. And that's kind of been freaking Giants baseball all season long.
They're rocky. Mm-hmm. They're rocky. They will not go down. Now, look, I'm pro Drago at this point in this analogy. I want Drago to get up off the deck and win the fight and continue the Cold War. I want that to happen. I'm all for that. But man, oh man, there's some point now, and Hershiser was talking about this in the telecast last night, where you just start doing the math and all these, you know, with this many left, if you win this many, we got to win this many.
Wait, like Hershiser did what we were doing, was it yesterday or the day before?
Well, both. We did it yesterday and the day before.
So Hershiser, I don't know who the hell he thinks he is. He's going to take some of our content. Don't we have a little bit? Is there something? I mean, do we get Disney attorneys on this? What do we do?
I don't know if math is technically our content.
Because last I checked, we went through the schedule yesterday and said 9-3 and 9-3.
Dear
Hershiser, all of a sudden thinks he could just get on the broadcast and use that content.
Dear Dodger legend Oral Hershiser. Dear 1988 Cy Young Award winner Oral Hershiser, cease and desist with the math. That is the intellectual property.
You know where he probably went? You know where he probably went to get that math? Probably ESPN.com.
Right, double steal.
That's our company.
But he was talking about the math, right? And he can do math as well as we can. And he was able to kind of lay out, look,
what did he lay out in the?
What he was setting up was this. And it's the same thing that we were talking about yesterday, that at some point when you see everything that the Dodgers have done, and it still hasn't been enough to this point, still might be, we'll see. And you look at the way that the Giants keep coming back. I mean, how many different ninth inning wins are they going to have in the last month? 10? It certainly feels like that. That at some point you just say, you know what? It ain't our year. Not that you can't win the World Series, but they're destined to win this division. That there's the fate or karma or whatever you want to call it. It just feels like every time it needs to break the Giants' way, it has. Now, you can look at it the other way, too, and think, look, it doesn't break your way 100% of the time.
Sure.
A good year is it's going to break your way 70%, maybe 75%. Giants have gotten it breaking their way about 90% of the time. Eventually, it's going to break the other way, hopefully in the next 11 games, but I'm starting to get that feeling of fate where it just seems like the Giants were meant to be the division champs.
Okay, so if that plays out, they're the division champ, and now Dodgers have to kind of mess around and do whatever they do, and they got to take on St. Louis, who, by the way, has won 10 games in a row mm-hmm. and turned what kind of a deficit into a 5-game lead on the Padres in the wild card, it seemed like, in a week. That could also play out that way. We'll see how it all, you know, obviously as it kind of stretches its way out. But this is what I got. I think we haven't spent enough time on this, and we could do this coming back. Trev, this is a important start tonight for Walker Buehler. I don't know. I want to get into some numbers of what he's done over the last, let's say, 3 weeks or so. And I think there's probably Dodger fans out there that haven't spent the time in doing this, and I swear if Hershiser takes this tonight, we're going to have some issues. I really, really think Dodger fans probably don't know what Buehler has done over the last 4 starts or so, and I think we could do that coming up next.
I don't like your angle on Walker Buehler at all, because it's right and it scares the you know what out of me. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, two things here, Trev. First of all, Morales' voice. I hope that thing stays with us for a very long time, and I hope he's creative enough to find ways every single segment to bring it in. That's one.
I'm just excited that Matt Stafford's coming on at 1:30. I'm looking forward to that.
Second thing, that's going to be a fantastic interview, obviously going up against the Patriots this weekend. And the third and final thing, or the Patriots.
He got traded.
Bro, isn't that funny? Signed. I still do that with Tom
Brady.
So
do I.
Like, there's no hesitation.
Traded,
I still do
free
that.
Free agent, whatever it was. He's in Tampa.
Third thing is... Bro, you lied to me yesterday.
I did?
Why? Funch, I thought I had a good relationship with Travis. Travis tells me that I need to catch up on Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
That we're like 19 seasons
no.
in.
Six.
So then I tell my girl, I'm like, hey, we got a Better Call Saul, brand new season, do whatever you're doing,
new.
Finish it, and then we're going to go watch season number six.
No, it's not what I said.
Let me finish here.
See
I have
what it
the
feels
conch.
Like.
Okay. So I set it all up, you know, and everything is just ready to go. It's like you're about to go watch a movie or let's put it this way, Thursday night football game. Uh-huh. You're thinking you're watching a Thursday night football game. Like you're all excited about it. And then I go to Netflix.
It's not on Netflix.
Netflix is only five seasons in. That's
four.
Maybe it's four.
Yeah.
That's as far as they've gone. And then I go to AMC because I think it's AMC.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's on AMC, but it's not on right now. You have to go to Amazon Prime. You can buy season 5 on Amazon Prime and see it.
This guy made it sound like it just came out a week and a half ago. I watched season 5 a year ago. The look my girlfriend was giving me was like, what are you doing?
I'm just saying that's where
why
season
would you
five
set
lives.
It up like this
well, look, you,
and we've already watched this game. It's like I was watching NBA TV watching a 1994
well, that's your
game.
Jam. I know that you like to go rewatch Eldon Campbell games.
I do.
I thought maybe you want to see
she doesn't.
Bob Odenkirk lay it out there again.
Do you know what we
you
did?
Never know.
We watched the season finale of season 4.
Yeah.
I already seen it.
Get you ready for season 5, which is on Amazon Prime. It's $24.99 for the season or $2.99
So
episode.
You still watched the finale?
Bro, I was already in.
See,
I was already in.
By the way, mark it down. What's today? Today is September 22nd at 10:20. First ever Lord of the Flies reference on Travis and Sliwa. Well done. I'm very,
was
very
important.
Happy
well,
with that.
You weren't letting me talk.
Well, now you know what it feels like. Now you know what it's like to be on the wrong end of that exchange.
What were we at the golf where I just you were asked a factor cap and then I just answered for you?
It was
you?
Will Tom Brady play until he's 50? Factor cap, Travis. And then it was, let me tell you about Tom Brady.
One of my favorite moments.
It was pretty great. Yeah. I liked it too. All right. I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that you've been on this for a week or two now, and Walker Buehler pitches for the Dodgers tonight in Colorado against the Rockies, which, you know, Coors Field is just terrifying because the outfield is the size of an airport,
yeah,
and the air is thin, the ball flies, and all of those things. But you and Walker Buehler have an interesting relationship.
Okay, so this is the point that I was trying to make a couple of days ago. I'm not saying Walker Buehler all of a sudden doesn't know how to pitch. Yes, I get it. You know, we are having this conversation about Scherzer or Buehler in a one-game playoff.
Sure.
And this was not too far after he gave up those 6 runs against the Giants. And uh-huh. He said, the guy just had one bad day. It happens. I'm like, I know, I get it, you're right. But that was a pretty damn big game to have that one bad day.
Mm-hmm.
His last 3 starts. This is why I say I think this is a really, really important start for Walker Buehler tonight. And I hate that it's in Colorado because anything can happen there. But the Dodgers need a W, as they've needed a W in every single game. But they really need a W, I think, from Walker Buehler, and they need a good outing from him. In his last 3 starts, 11 earned runs in 16 innings. He's given up 19 hits. He's got 11 Ks and 5 walks over his last 3 starts. You're going to have – nobody's saying you're supposed to have a perfect season. Nobody's saying that you're not going to have hiccups along the way. My point is that those last 3 starts, I believe, all fall in September. the final month before you go into the postseason, and as ice cold as Walker Buehler has been for the Dodgers, how do you not look at these stats over his last three, which you lost to the San Francisco Giants? He left the game, I think he got a no decision against the Padres, left 2-2. And then he lost. I get it. You know, you were mentioning the pitcher from Cincinnati.
Luis Castillo
gave up only one run. Buehler gave up three, and you're saying that's not a bad outing. My point is that you lost two of those critical games against a team you could face in the Reds and obviously the Giants. This is an important one for Buehler tonight.
I hate everything you just said. I really do, because you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Now, the numbers you have are right. The concern in your voice, I think, is well placed. The randomness of Coors Field is a real thing. I'm not there yet. I'm just not there yet. This is
and you don't have to be. I get it.
This is a guy that if you go back a month ago, mm-hmm. right, that prior to this run that you're talking about, prior to the start against the Giants where he gave up six runs in three innings, this guy had the Cy Young Award in his back pocket. Yep. It was him. Mm-hmm. He was going to win it. You had a month of the season to go, and Walker Buehler was your front runner for Cy Young Award. He's still on the list of Cy Young candidates. He's not going to win it now because Max Scherzer's going to win it now. And if it's not him, it might be Julio Urias. But if this guy gets tapped on the shoulder and said, you need to go pitch game 163, you need to go pitch the wild card game, you need to go pitch game 7 of the World Series out, I feel great about it. I really do. I get it. He has not looked like Walker Buehler typically does when he's pitching at his best. He's, other than the San Francisco game, which was bad, I'll stipulate, it was bad. There's nothing but about that. He pitched poorly. He got knocked around. They lost the game. It was bad. The rest of this, there's some extenuating circumstances. The Padre game, he threw one bad pitch. Tatis got him.
Sure.
The Reds game, I thought he pitched pretty well. It just kind of, they gave up a big hit in a bad spot when there was a guy on base, and it kind of snowballed a little bit. If three runs in an outing, that's not a bad outing. Mm-hmm. It's a substandard outing for a guy like Buehler, but these are solid starts with the exception of the San Francisco game. I hear you. Max Scherzer has separated himself from the pack. He's on a plane that's entirely his own. But I am not on the Walker Buehler needs to have a start tonight or, uh-oh, what's wrong with Walker Buehler? Even if he gets tagged, if he gets knocked out of the game in the second or third inning, then sure.
Not happening.
But probably not.
Yeah.
But even if that happened, it's Coors Field, man. This isn't where all of a sudden, who's a bad team in the National? The Arizona, if he were pitching in Arizona at the end of this week and got tagged, then it'd be, okay, what the hell's going on here? If he got tagged by the San Diego Padres next week when they play at Dodger Stadium, it would be a what the hell's going on here. Other than the Giants game, there's extenuating circuit. I'm just not there yet. You're right about all of it, and it's kind of planted a seed that I don't like, but I'm not worried about him at all, really.
So this is the reality. Reality is I get why you can sit here and say I'm not concerned about Walker Buehler. All I'm trying to point out is he's had three straight starts or just over his last three starts, that's just not Walker Buehler. That's the only point. You know, it's not that the world is about to end. It's not that, hey, you're questioning whether Buehler should – where is he going to be in the rotation company? No, it's none of that. I'm just saying Walker Buehler has set a standard. He's been below his standard over these last three starts. What happens tonight, I don't know, but if they won 4-1 and Walker Buehler gave up one run, you're like, yeah, you're going to come in tomorrow and say, I told you, it's freaking Buehler. But if they lost 4-1, he gave up four runs, I would sit back and say, okay, I'm just adding another start to four over his last four starts, those averages don't look good.
It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Straight Talk. Walker Buehler gets the ball in the wild card game. You feeling good?
Walker Buehler gets the ball. Yes, but I don't think you can feel good, period, because it's a wild card game.
I get the randomness of the of the game itself, but do you like the fact that he's got the ball in his hand to start that game?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. That's where I keep coming back to it. Has he pitched as best as he can the last couple games? No. Do I like him? If you said to me, how about this? Fast forward to game 7 of the World Series right now. Walker Buehler's going to pitch. You take it? Hell yes. Let's go. Let's go play.
We know that he's not the first option, but that's just because of what Max Scherzer has done.
Right.
I think no matter the scenario, and I hear what you're saying about you feel good because Buehler has a ball, but you just don't feel good, period, because it's a wild card game.
Okay. So Dodgers win last night. They got a big hit from an old man, and it is the beginning of something I think that's really important that this Dodger team is doing. We'll get into that. Plus, Deion Sanders to USC. It's all coming up. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
See, this one you got to let play out a little bit. This one hits me just right.
Is this Jodeci?
All right, real quick. I know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. Let's go around the room. Do you know how many training montage scenes there are in Rocky IV?
You actually know the number?
I do.
And Rocky IV was the best. Right. In my opinion, it is the best.
Well, that's a ridiculous opinion, which we can address it in a moment. But, yeah, the training, the right way.
I've never really got into a fight, but if you argue with me on this one, I'll come across the table.
Okay. How many training montages? I'll give you a little bit of extra room. The movie is just shy of 2 hours long.
I'll go nine.
Okay. Funches?
Four.
Emily.
11. I'm going big.
Keep in mind, the movie is not 2 hours long, and there are four training montages in the movie.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
One is basically your way of, all right, we're going to tell a long story in 30 seconds. Four times, it means you don't have a movie.
During the first
training. It's nothing but him doing sit-ups for
I was going to say, during the first training montage, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm getting a personal trainer tomorrow. I'm getting a trainer. I'm going to do whatever it takes. By the time the third one comes in, I was tired and I haven't done anything yet. I'm just watching him train.
Yeah, I don't need to see him doing sit-ups four separate times in the movie, but it's true. And speaking of the machine, right, if Drago was he's not a man, he's a machine, that whole deal. Albert Pujols' nickname for a long time was the machine, right?
That's right.
What he went by.
Can you remember that SportsCenter commercial?
It's a great one. It was a great one.
Everything's just computing in his head.
He's
like
the Terminator.
Printer or something.
it's fantastic. I am so happy to have been so wrong about Albert Pujols. And it is such a perfect example of how good the Dodgers are at what they do. Albert Pujols really, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm just going to be honest. Albert Pujols' career in Anaheim was a disaster. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible deal from the moment it was signed. They bought
That to his bank account.
And it's not a bad deal for Albert Pujols. Mm-hmm. It's a bad deal for the Angels. Albert Pujols was the best player in baseball for the better part of 10 years. He was amazing. Multiple MVPs, World Series championships, etc. But it was over. It's 10 years. That's how long those things last. And the Angels bought the next 10, and they played three playoff games, and they lost them all. I think he made the All-Star team twice in 10 years, and they paid him $250 million. Didn't work out. Not Albert's fault. It's father time, right?
But by the way, even with that, I'm sure it was awful for him as well. Being in an environment and an atmosphere where you can't win any games, mm-hmm. that – I think where you're getting to is how do you think he looks at this opportunity with the Dodgers now, right? Where that environment that he's been in for that long, now he walks into the best environment in baseball.
And I'm not inside Albert Pujols' head. I'm going strictly on what I saw and body language and things like that. It looked like he'd kind of just, I'm running out the string. I'm collecting my checks. The team stinks. We're not going to win any games. And I'm kind of over this. And the Angels release him, right? He wants to play. The Angels really don't have a spot for him, and they release him. And it was the Dodgers that saw him and said, you know what? There's still baseball left in that guy. There's still leadership left in that guy. There's still a mystique about a guy that's on the short list of greatest players ever, having him in your clubhouse every single day. Bring him in here. When they did it, Al, I remember telling you, he'll be gone in 2 weeks. This isn't going to work. He's old. He's shot. It's over. And then you saw what he did last night against the Rockies. Look, all he did was hit a ground ball up the middle in the 10th inning to score a run. Mm-hmm. But it was about as professional an at-bat as you're going to see. He's taking pitches. He's grinding it out. He's a pro. He's not trying to do too much. I like the quote that he said. In that situation, sometimes you think you have to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and you don't. You just have to have a good at-bat, just put the ball in play, and hopefully get a base hit, and that's it. Exactly. You don't have to hit the ball over the center fielder's head. You don't have to split a gap. You need to put the ball in play on the ground and see what happens.
Sometimes boring baseball is beautiful freaking baseball.
And they love him. They love him. Have you ever seen Max Muncy hits a home run? Mm-hmm. Who's the first person he goes hugs? Albert Pujols.
Gavin Lux.
I wish that were true. I think he'd break Gavin Lux in half if he gave him a hug. Muncy's big. Gavin Lux is not.
By the way, just pointing this out from an article this morning on LA Times. So Pujols single yesterday, his 13th hit in 34 pinch hit at bats this season, one hit behind the major league lead.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's one thing to have somebody come in, end of their career, not really going to produce. This is September baseball. You're freaking chasing the San Francisco Giants. How many clips have we played? The Giants won't go down. Pujols came through in a clutch situation. You're going to tell me that a predicament like that can't come up in the playoffs and he'll be in the same predicament?
It'll come up once a game. Playoff games are not played 9-3. Playoff games are 5-4.
Sure.
6-5. They're tight games. Mm-hmm. And a hit is the difference between winning or losing those games. And you tell me, if you said to me, pick a guy that you want to come, yeah, give me Trey Turner, give me Justin Turner, give me one of those guys, I'll give me Mookie, sure. But if you're saying, hey, look, you're down in the bottom half of the order, or the pitcher spot is up, and you got to go to the bench and get a guy to come in and try to get a hit that's ice cold, give me Albert Pujols, man. You think there's not a pitch he hasn't seen. He's not going to get scared. He's not going to panic. He's not going to try to do too much. He knows exactly what that pitcher's trying to do to him to get him out, and he can go up there and have quality at-bat.
You said it best. He probably thought his career was over. He's cashing some checks. Dodgers thought, hey, your expectations here are so limited, plus we don't have to pay you that much money, plus there's no risk in bringing you in, but we still think you might have something left. He's delivered.
And give him credit, too, for going into that role, accepting it, embracing it, and thriving in it. Because he was the best player in baseball for 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. To go into, hey, you're going to get 5 at-bats a week, that's really hard. That's a hard thing to kind of wrap your hands around, and he was absolutely able to do it. Does it look like I'm having a good time today? Because I am.
Can I say at 10:55, Reggie Bush wants Deion Sanders to be the coach for the University of Southern California. Uh-huh. That's coming up at 10:55. Yeah. And then,
look at my smile.
What's today?
Today is
Wednesday. Let's do a bunch of funch. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and every other Monday.
Ask Slee. That's next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. Every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, we do Ask Slee.
Before we get started, can I go through the entire American League, just the standings?
Nope. Here we go. This is how we're going to start.
Worth a try.
Drew in L.A., why did Rocky have a robot in Rocky IV? Hashtag Ask Slee. It's a good question.
Guy, first of all, listen. It's the best Rocky by far. You want to make your argument that it's not, you can make it right now. It's the United States versus Russia. Like, this was not just a movie here. This was the Cold War.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot that was at stake in this. And here's the great thing about it. That movie, people think it was a movie. It was live. Nobody knew how it was going to end.
If he can change and I can change, then we can both change.
Every news network was there live.
Rocky was like punchy in Rocky I. Mm-hmm. He was super punchy in Rocky II and III. And yet in Rocky IV, he's Winston Churchill. How did that happen?
Okay.
I don't understand how we got to that
Obviously,
point.
You don't understand how athletes evolve in their career.
Well, no, I understand how athletes – I don't understand how you make brain damage go away. That's the part I don't quite understand.
Technology.
Well, that's why he had the robot. Maybe that was the – by the way, wasn't that Paulie's robot? Anyway, we'll move on to the next one. This is from Darb. Is Slee a pumpkin spice latte guy? They're coming. We're getting close to pumpkin spice latte time.
Could I tell you something?
Yeah.
And this might say a lot about.
It's an important answer, by the way.
And I think you already might have an angle on this. I might have the most boring order at Starbucks.
I'm not surprised.
Ever.
Black coffee.
I throw some milk in there. Same thing every time. Like people, though, and I get a pike. Typically, it's a pike that I get.
Uh-huh, I like
Why? Because I don't know. I've just got it, and I don't know the difference. But what I can't do at Starbucks when they say, hey, we got to brew it. You down to wait 5 minutes? I'm like, no, I'm not. Give me a dark, whatever you got brewed.
Whatever's hot.
Whatever you got brewed.
So I'm glad that you're not a pumpkin spice latte guy, because this would have been our last show together if you were. Pumpkins are disgusting.
I'm telling you right now, first of all, they're not disgusting. Pumpkin pie.
Oh, God.
Pumpkin pie is disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's mushy. And there've
been
it's got the consistency of like tofu. It's awful.
Don't say it like that, because that's going to be my vibe.
Am I wrong?
It's like a tofu pie.
It
I don't want to hear
a
that.
It's a tofu squash. Hey, you know what? You know what?
Emily Funch tomorrow, pumpkin spice lattes on the house. Just let me know. We'll go down there tomorrow.
Hey, what kind of pies you got? I got one made out of a disgusting squash. You want that? Yeah, give me that. Is it brown? Yeah, it's brown. Is it the consistency of tofu? Yeah, it is. Okay, give me that. Great. Here's your pumpkin pie. Nasty. Absolutely nasty.
You kind of swayed me a little bit here. I don't know if I'm going to ever have the same experience with pumpkin pie.
Just terrible.
Oh,
John,
pumpkin pie.
Best band you've ever seen live, I should say.
A couple years ago, they hadn't done a show together in a long time, and I don't think this will ever be topped. And I'm talking, I mean, I love getting a chance to see Nas, or getting a chance to see Jay-Z, or getting a chance to see Lauryn Hill, Fugees. Bro, Rage Against the Machine did a show at the Coliseum.
Okay.
And I forgot what the tour was called, but...
The Rage Against the Machine tour?
It was a very Rage Against the Machine. There's no sponsorships. There's no nothing. Uh-huh. It's like a black background, nothing. It was Rage. That was the best show that I've ever been to. I don't think we'll ever be topped. And you're in an environment where I'm pretty calm, cool, and collective. That night, I was like, hey, you know what?
Let's go fight someone.
We go in the slammer tonight. It's justified.
Like, there's a bonus part of that question. It says bonus, I'm gonna guess Funch's, and Funch, John is guessing that the best show that you've ever seen live is The Roots. Is he right?
Mm. He's right.
Really?
He's absolutely right. The best
I've never seen him live.
Alan, you gotta go. You gotta go, man.
There's a reggae artist I really like that's in his late 70s, Burning Spear. That's a fantastic one too at the Hollywood Bowl.
I saw The Roots too live. It's really good.
That's a good one. That's a good show. And I've never been.
Cheap
never
trick.
Been
I was. Remember, what's that thing they have in San Diego where they close down the streets and they do concerts on like
street
the different
scene?
Street scene.
Yeah.
That's
oh, yeah,
it. Thank you.
Oh,
we were
gosh,
walking. It was late
that.
One night. I didn't even know street scene was happening. We turned the corner. Cheap Trick is on the corner playing a concert. It was awesome. It's like really the only thing I ever remember about it. But that's the answer to that question.
I also have one more cool experience.
What
I saw
got?
Stevie Wonder perform with Dave Matthews Band.
So Dave Matthews ruined it. Got it.
I'm with Travis on that
hey,
one.
No,
Dave Matthews didn't ruin it.
They did Stevie Wonder songs with Dave Matthews playing.
It's the worst thing you've ever heard.
Blank and Dave Matthews is a bad show.
When are we going to Sade?
Stevie Wonder.
When are all four of us going to Sade?
Stevie, like, who wouldn't want to go see Stevie Wonder, right? Like, that would just be amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Dave Matthews is here. Oh, crap. I mean, that's kind of how
you're making
it.
Like,
say,
it's like the worst artist ever.
It was in Charlottesville. That's the whole reason why. So Dave Matthews is from Charlottesville. That's why.
All right. Here's another one. How many days can you keep leftover pizza before it's not okay to eat? That's from Francis.
2 days. 2 days is the right amount. Yeah, 2 days. After that, first of all, if you don't eat leftover pizza within 2 days sitting in the refrigerator and you have that much patience to not go back and eat it, something's wrong with the pizza, and I can't go past.
What if
you
store it like in a Ziploc bag or even, you know, Tupperware?
You guys disappoint me.
Well, first of all, I don't know how you're putting it in the fridge if it's not that. Like, you can't put it in the box because then it's going to go, you know, it's going to dry up.
Some people do.
I don't understand what you guys are talking about. I've never had leftover pizza get past the next morning.
Yeah.
Right? There's been occasionally where maybe you overorder a little bit where there's a little bit more the next morning, but it doesn't make it to lunch the second day. It's multiple days that pizza's still living in your fridge. That seems surreal to me.
Gotta be honest, I don't know if that's happened. You're right. But if you have to leave it in for a certain time, it's 2 days. By the way, Oscar Grusi said it was called LA Rising. That's what the Rage Against the Machine show was.
All right. Will writes, by the way, I have not seen this name before. Always like this. Will, welcome. He's SoCal Will 80. Are you one of those guys who keeps tapping the close button on an elevator when you see people coming? Or are you, come on in, there's plenty of room?
Can I say this? I actually do neither. I just let nature take its course, okay?
if you can make it in time,
okay? This is the worst thing at ours when we were, you know, obviously in studio every single day or here at the office every day. There's just enough distance here at LA Live where you can make eye contact with someone and they're just far enough away. your head kind of goes down. It's like the door's going to freaking close. That's how they're going to remember me.
One more quick one here. When is the appropriate time to put out Christmas decorations? Hashtag ask Sleep.
Easy one. Day after Thanksgiving.
That's right. That's the correct answer.
Day after Thanksgiving.
See, we haven't gotten through an Ask Slee where you haven't gotten at least one of them right.
And all that pumpkin pie left over.
Ugh, you can have it. It's all yours. Now, leftover pumpkin pie is a different conversation. Ask Slee, brought to you by Kia of Carson. This summer, find your next car or SUV at Kia of Carson. Hurry in to Kia of Carson for the best selection off the 405 at the Carson exit. Go to kiaofcarson.com. Prime time in L.A. That's next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.